move. Okay. When we last left our heroes, we had started some in Shin Ayin Aleph. But I said I had skipped the very first line, which is a famous machlokes, which is not really based on the Shulchan Aruch. But if you look at this shach, there's a perhaps even an infamous shach in the beginning of Simen Shin Ayin Aleph, who quotes a rokeach, kosav harokeach, Simen Shin Tezvav, eish es koin shemu uberes muteres likonis bo'olameis. A pregnant, this, by the way, is Maisa B'chol Yom. An Aishas Kohen could be pregnant. Is she allowed to go to a funeral, to this, to that, etc.? So she's allowed to go to the Olam Eis. Why? But the Sfeik Sfeiku, Shema Nefalhu or Shema Nekevahu, because of Sfeik Seika, maybe Lolenu shall miscarry, and maybe she'll, maybe she's having a viable baby. And if it's a viable baby, 50% boy, 50% girl, which means Sfeik Sfeika, that she's not carrying a Kohen. Because maybe she's carrying a nephil, maybe she's carrying a girl. So therefore, it's mutter. What? Okay, sounds like a reasonable enough sex fake. Sounds like a reasonable enough heter. Why is this? Controversial? Because the Pesach Tshuva points out here that the Magen Avraham in Siman Shin Mem Gimel says, "What are you talking about? There's a better reason it's mutter even without sex fake, which is Toma Blua." There's a rule. Tuma Blua is not Mitame, and Tara Blua is not Nitma. Anything swallowed up in something else cannot give off Tuma and cannot receive Tuma. Right? Classic example. I think this is the example of Mishnah. If I swallow a ring and go to an Olam Eis and then vomit it out or whatever, it's not Tame because when it's swallowed up. So therefore, of course, the baby can't become Tame. Who cares about this fake Sveika? Right? And what's enough to me? Enough to me is, how about nowadays? What if you did an ultrasound and you know it's a boy? Right? And Baruch Hashem, with our modern medicine, you know, once you're X weeks pregnant, the odds are, you know, high, much more than, you know, 90-something percent that you'll have a viable baby, Baruch Hashem. So, yeah, 98% Kohen. You did an ultrasound, you checked, etc. They said, oh, the baby was good. They said he was male, etc. So the Magen Avraham says still mutter because it's Tara Blua and the Mishnah Brura and he says also what does the Rokeach mean? After all, he doesn't want to argue on a Rishon. He says no, the Rokeach only meant if she's in labor, and when she's in labor, the cervix dilates. That means it opens and then it's not swallowed up anymore. That's a big akim to the Rokeach. Only means if she's in labor, and it's already, oh, it doesn't have to be in labor, technically, anyone who's had a baby knows that even before you're in labor, it could already be open, perhaps a certain amount. We discussed this in Hos Nidah, Sikhos HaKever. And the Mishnah Brura Takin, Simen Shin Mem Gimel, agrees with the Magen Avraham. So, and the Shach, obviously, doesn't seem to, because he doesn't say this. So here's the question. What about a fetus in the womb of an Aishas Kohen? So, says the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Brura in Simen Shin Mem Gimel. Magen Avraham is Sifkatan Beis and the Mishnah Berurah Sifkatan Gimel should be hard to find. He said that mutter because of Balua. Because, let's say even better, because Balua is not Mekabel Tuma. But what about the Shach who only and the Rokeach only meant after Sichas HaKever. After Sichas HaKever, again, I'm not getting into the need of what's the final Sichas HaKever, meaning when it's Kara of Lamos, and then it's not Balu anymore. However, that's not what it sounds like from the from the Shach, etc. So, what's another possibility? Another possibility is, says the Shach, and the pashtus of the rokeach, right? Shach and the pashtus of the rokeach sound like, no, there's no heter bulua, right? Mutter only because of sfeik sfeika, not because of balua. Okay, why is there no heter of balua then? So, anyone make a suggestion here? Okay, anyone might make a different suggestion before we explain that?
The baby's literally living off of the mother's.
Exactly. So there's an Avnei Miluim and a Birke Yosef right there in Shin Mem Gimel, who say slightly different, and an Avnei Miluim and Simon Pei Beis, who say, no, that's not Balua. Balua is a foreign object, like if I swallow a ring. Right, or like, you know, in the jails, everything, right? They all swallow the drugs and the cell phones and everything going into the jail. That's balua. It's one thing and something else. The Uber is not one thing and something else. Either Uber Yerachimo or Hayu Revise. The Uber is organically part of the mother. It's not something swallowed and something else. No, it's one big thing because they're organically connected. So that's what one derech is, the Avnei Miluim and the Insimen Pei Beis. And the Birke Yosef, that's the Chidah in Or Chaim, in the same place. That's all there is. Says, no, not called Balua because it's organically connected. It's organically united. That's not Balua. The baby's not Balua in the mother. The baby is with the mother. They're all together. It's one big thing. Obviously, we don't say that, you know, if there's one thing with like two parts, that the inner part is considered balua. No, it's one big thing. There's a big kli. You don't say the inside balua. No, it's one big kli. Okay, they come from slightly different halachic principles. The Avimum says because of hayu revise, because the fetus lives off the mother, and the Birkeil says because uber yorchimo. But it's the same idea. However, Yudidov pointed out, this is one of Rav Schechter's most famous words. Rav Schechter quotes from the Lundish Brisker Achronim, the Achiezer and the Kobet Shirin, who say, Chakira here, they say, Tara Balua is not Makabal Toma. But who says that the Isser of Kohanim is to be Makabal Toma? So they say a tremendous Chiddush here. They say that it is Balua and not Mekabel Toma, but still Usser. If you're not Mekabel Toma, it's Usser, and their big Kiddush is a Kohen's Usser, even if he's not Mekabel Toma. And one of the big riots for this is, we saw about Goseis, it was a Machlokes, right? Abur Macher, the Kohen can't go through with the Goseis, he's not Mekabel Toma, the Goseis is still alive, it doesn't matter. Now, it's not exactly the same, but, and the way Rav Schechter says, Rav Schechter has a very nice and big fit, so in the 35th Simon, he gets into this, he says, still Osir, and here they make a Lundish Chiddush, here's the Lundish Chiddush, the Isser is not for the Kohen to be Nitma, but for the Kohen to be miskarev lemeis. Usually it's the same thing. And your tummy, when you come into contact with the mace, contact meaning not only direct contact, olam is also contact. But nafkamina is here, clearly fetus in olamis, al kalmashus mace lo yavo. But it's not become tummy. He says, who cares if it becomes tummy or not? It's still usher according to the rokeach because of the usher viscarless lemeis, even without tummy. And that is a very fundamental hakira. That is a very fundamental hakira. Rav Schechter then goes on, and you can look at this in the Ikve Tzontzim Lamed Hey, I'll just throw in a few nafkaminas in this chakira, right? The chakira is the iser, aser, lehitame lemeis, or aser lehiskarev lemeis. That is Rosh Hashanah's Chakirin. You can look at that. I won't bring all those nafkaminas. There's a few nafkaminas. Nafkamina number one might be Balua. And here, if the Isser lead time lace, you would say like the Magen Avraham. There's no Isser. But if you said that the Isser is Karev lemeis, you would say like the Pashtus of the Rokeach and the Shach, that it is Isser. Just another thing he threw out here, and we won't get into all this. This is a most classic Minchas Chinuch question. Is it mutter for a Kohen to be nitma to a Suffolk Mason Rishus Rabin? If you say it's also become tummy, he doesn't become tummy. Right? What about Suffolk Tuma Rishus Rabin? If the Issers become tummy, then it should be mutter. Why? The Isser is become tummy, it doesn't become tummy. There's a Xeris Akasa that if you touch Suffolk Tuma Rishus Rabin, you don't become tummy. But if the Isser come close to a mace, he 50% came close to a mace. Suffolk Isser Daraisa is Lachomer. It should be Usser, because who cares that he didn't become tummy? He still 50-50 came close to a mace. Meaning, what's the example, right? I don't know, you have two paths in Rosh Hashanah. One has grave under it, one doesn't, and they forgot which was which. So the Kohen go over the grave, go over the path. So if you say it's an Usser be tummy, he's not going to be a Nitma, so it should be fine. But if you say the Isser is to be walk over a mace, 50% chance of walking over a mace, and it's an Isser Daraisa, it should be Lachumra. Another classic example might be, and as he points out, how about the Isser of? And you can interpret this different ways. But what we mentioned before of Goses. Again, there could be other ways of analyzing Goses, but if the Isser has become, we all know Goses is not a Tame, so maybe it shouldn't be Isser, but if the Isser has become close to a mace, then maybe it's even to become close to something close to it. I can't go close to a mace or even to something close to a mace, then maybe it would be Isser. Or how about a Kohen? Shekvar Nitma, which we'll see there are four different madrigas of this nafkamina. We'll get to it. But if you say this become tame, then maybe it should be mutter. You know, without getting into the details. I'm not getting into the details here. For that, look at it for its own, and also we'll get into the details. If you say the Isser become close to a mace, who cares if he's already tame? He can't become close to a mace, right? The Rambam says, even if he's touching a mace right now, it's an Isser to touch a second mace. It doesn't make him any more tame. It doesn't matter. It's still Usher to touch the second mace. And I'll throw in one or two other nafkminas. Might be how about Cherev Harehu Kechalol, right? Meaning, as an example of something that's not a mace but has Tumas mace. If the Usher is being Nitmel mace, then maybe it should be Usher. And yeah, one can get out of this, depending on your formulation. Because you're getting Tumas mace. If the Usher is to come close to a mace, you're not coming close to a mace, you're coming close to a watch was our example, right? Or a necklace or something, or a sword. Okay, he has many, many other examples, as well. And we will leave them there. He wants to suggest something a little radical. The Minhag Olam is that Kohanim, unless they're very from Arnsel Machten and flying over cemeteries, why not? So he says, maybe you could say that even though the Tumah goes up to the Shemayim, literally, when Shemayim say the Tumah goes up to the Shemayim, but maybe you could say it's not called the Skarvis Lemes if you're in an airplane 30,000 feet up. That's a very big hint, because whoever's heard you draw that line, and that's one of its practical ramifications. Anyway, Lemaisa, Ayin Shom Ve'ikve Yetzon Simon Lamed. Hey, why don't I close this? Very, very, very geschmack analysis of this Hakira, and we'll leave it for now. I just want to pass it to Lachal Maisa, and then we'll go back to the nitty-gritty details of Ohel. What's the nafkamina of these opinions? Nafkamina is, what if you know it's a boy? Right? Very common nowadays. Meaning, you know, our technology is well more advanced. But it's schmeezy with modern technology, after a certain number of weeks of pregnancy, to know if the fetus is a boy or a girl. So let's say the Cohen's wife goes to the doctor and says, oh, you're having a boy. Then can she go to a funeral or not? It's not just a funeral. Maybe there's some museums that could be problematic. Maybe it's like, there's some towns where you, like, just walking on the street outside the cemetery is problematic because the same tree over,
overhangs the street and the cemetery, etc. In Jewish towns, they should trim those trees. But that doesn't mean they always do. So that's an afkmina. What if you know it's a boy? If you say, like the Magen Avraham and Mishnah Brura, then it's still mutter until the very end of the pregnancy. Not the very, I mean very end. Mutter until, you know, dilation begins. Dilation, that means when the cervix opens, right? Until the cervix starts opening, then it is mutter, so it's no problem. She can go wherever she wants because it's balua, even though she knows the hoy. But if you take one of these other approaches, then it would be usser legamri, the whole pregnancy, because balua is not a hefter, either if they have the mulum, the biosis reason, or if kubra shefter, they quotes the reason he likes, and they quotes Yerim and the Achiezer. It's interesting to see, like, the difference between pre-brisker and post-brisker in terms of how you deal with sugyas like this, right? There's a clear in chronological divide here, with the Mishnah Brura being before the briskers, even though that's not chronological. But that's a big nafkamina. Halachal maisa, this is the big machlokes ad hayom hazeh. Taka, what do we do? Rav Sternbach says, where Mishnah Brura yedek, even if she knows the boy, she can go. Rav Bleich told me once, he must have written this someplace, that he's super macher. He says, even if you don't know what it is, she can't go, because she has to go to the doctor and ask. Okay, that's going a little far. I think most poskim nowadays are machmir against the Mishnah Brura. Okay, someone wants to be someone from the Mishnah Brura, or the Sternbach Paskus that way, but most poskim nowadays, bless you, are machmir against the Mishnah Brura, like all these other achronim, like Pshat of the Shach, like Pshat of the Rokef, and say if she knows it's a boy, she should be machmir. Lenny is 90, I think. If she knows it's a boy, then she should be machmir. If she likes going to funerals, then she should not ask. But I think most poskim are machmir her against the Mishnah Brura. Now, even though, you know, it's far from clear cut.
How does she just not ask?
What?
How does she not ask?
You can ask and not tell you what the gender lead.
I'm saying she needs to know.
First of all, a lot of from people have this mimic of not asking. It's not an uncommon thing at all. What does she need to know?
Of course not, but I'm saying she specifically is avoiding it just to see if she's...
So that's an interesting question.
That's
an interesting question, but Dafka, if it's talking about Sveik, we seem to Paskin and your idea, Kofiya, that you don't have to be involved with Sveik, and now I understand. You don't have to be involved is not the same as try hard to avoid being involved, but... Lemaisa, I wouldn't say just don't ask if it was Pasha that if you asked it would be usher. Given that Mr. Brewer is Mako, even if you do know it's a boy, so then I think you could say that you don't have to ask. Again, Mary Blige is more about her than that, but I think she's also an outlier. Okay, Viking. Yeah.
If they tell you that it's a girl, you have to be cautious that they may not be 100%.
No, you don't have to be cautious because first of all, even if they're wrong, it's still six fake. Right, and also the odds they're wrong are small. They are wrong sometimes, but the odds they're wrong are small. So it's a very, you know, it's like basically, you know, 90% a girl, 10% a boy. I'm sure the numbers are actually better than that. So then for sure you don't have to worry. Okay. Yes.
Does the suffix of suffix nafil still apply nowadays? If we like they have tests and assume it's late in the pregnancy.
No, suffix nafil still applies nowadays. Again, lo aleinu. I don't want to talk negatively here, but halachically, let's say the baby is perfectly healthy 7-8 months in, and then something happens, lo aleinu, and the baby's stillborn, or even something happens, lo aleinu, the baby's stillborn. Then we say, Gleinos l'mafreya, that it was always a nafel, halachically. I don't mean scientifically necessarily, so therefore that wouldn't change. Okay, so let's just review where we were then. Back to what is Shinayin Aleph really about? That was just a side point of the shot. That's not what Shinayin Aleph really about. Shinayin Aleph really about what's considered being in the same ohel and what's not considered being in the same ohel. So let's chaz for a second. Also, the coin, the kones tachas ol shameis tachlo filo gadol harbe vafilo bayis achro l'aliyah heres hapsuklo sabayis b'nekev sheis b'tevach al tefach. Again, anything that's open with at least a tefach by tefach opening, and everyone points out that if the opening is meant for light or for singing through, like a peephole or a hole to let in light, that even less than tefach by tefach, the sheet or a certain coin, which is close to the same as a certain type of tool, which I think the Gesher Chaim says around 4 centimeters by 4 centimeters. It lets through the tuma. It lets the tuma through, or if there's no wall between things. Basically, unless there's a full wall, the tuma goes under the roof from room to room, from house to house, from patio to patio. You know, could go across the whole city. There's a funny shah here in Sivkatan Beis, which the Pesachei Tshuva deals with in Sivkatan. In someplace. The Achrona deal with me. It's not the Pesachei Tshuva. The Shach says that. Shach's not here. We'll get to it later. And the Shach and Taz here point out that let's say you have like a screen or a grate. And there's many holes that are almost a tefach by a tefach. Right? Let's say there's a lot of holes that are like 8 tefachim by 3/4 of a tefach. And they all add up to a lot. It doesn't matter. If there's no one hole that's a tefach by a tefach, then it's not right. So even if you have a lot of big holes, even a lot of long, thin holes, it's not, even if the hole is many square tefachim, but it's not a tefach by a tefach, then it's not mitzarif, doesn't let the tuma through. And then the Shulchan Aruch talked about chotzetzes, v'im sasam ha'nekev motro lo likonis v'shastim ha'chotzetzes, afilo bit lo yishom ha'lamis, v'hani mil shasam kol ha'nekev, lo sasam kol ha'nekev, lo miyato mitefach, im nash lo yishom ha'lamis, v'mayi v'chotz ne'e tome, shalot avim lava imam ayim. Okay, we're not going into the lamdas, so this is obviously a big chiddush in lamdas, but if you fill up the entire window or hole, then you can even go to temporarily. It's considered to be like there's just no hole, so there's nothing to talk about. If you fill a part of the hole, and what's left is less than tefach by tefach, see that there is a hole, but it's filled, and therefore only if it's filled permanently, it's called filled. Not if it's filled temporarily. The whole dover, makabel toma, and chos pnei toma, and anything, there's a rule all over. Anything like kabel toma is not chos pnei toma. This is where you get into all these very, very difficult sugyas about a lot of materials nowadays that makabel toma, not makabel toma. There's a Rav Moshe about planes. Are planes makabel toma or not? Which we're not going to get into now. All the shilas gohanim on planes, right? There are two different shilas gohanim on planes. One is, can a kohen go on a plane if there's a mace in the cargo hold? Let's say that's probably the more chamor shilah. And the second shilah is, can a kohen go on a plane if it, I don't know actually, which, if it flies over a cemetery? Right, which is what I mentioned to Rav Schefter. I think Kedushin about what he was just saying as a suggestion. Okay, both those are very chomer shilas for Kohanim. We're not going to get into them now. One should, the minig is that Kohanim b'nei Torah try to be makbid, or try and succeed. Those are tully on two things. The question is, can the plane block the Tumah? Can the plane block the Tumah? And that depends on two reasons why the plane might not block the Tumah. Number one, maybe a plane is from Kabbal Tumah. Maybe it's not. Number two, I mean, maybe it's a cleat. That's another thing. Number two, maybe since a plane is moving, it doesn't block Tumah. It's called Ohel Zarek, but we're not going to get into that now. If you want, I will. I can point you to a nice summary of the sukkah. But we're not going to get into it now. Again, if you want, I'll give you a nice summary. Continuing, and it's not called blocking the window unless the blockage can stand unsupported. Here, I just want to be marked with a tiny bit on what we said last time, which is the Kaz and the Nekudas Gezer go 3 days from Tosfos. Why? Why is a stima that needs smicha not chotzeitz? Doesn't block the tumah. And there are three, it's not just three explanations, there's three sheets about what cases. I'll go from the more makel to the more machmir. One sheet, and not actually the order there in Tosos. One day is,
It's only a problem if it's nismach al yedei dover hamikabel tuma. Because the rule is anything that's makabel tuma can't be chutz the tuma. What it means is, if I put a board in the window that's not makabel tuma, but in order to keep that board up, I wedge it in with a screwdriver, which is makabel tuma, then really it's something makabel tuma that's helping block the tuma, and therefore it doesn't block the tuma. But as long as they're using it's not makabel tuma, it's okay. Second data is that no, it's only a problem if it's nismach al yedei adam o kli. Because if you recall from Maseches Olos, people and kelim cannot block the tuma, even if they're not makabel tuma. Right? Even if the person's a goy, it's not makabel tuma. Even if the kli is pshutei kli eitz or kli avonim, which are not makabel tuma, and therefore it's only if I use a kli to support the blockage. But if I use something that's not a kli, like just a stone, or just a rock from the street, or a branch from a tree, then it's no problem. The third opinion is, no, that it's any smicha is a problem because it's then called stimas arai. It's called only a temporary closing up, a temporary block. A temporary block doesn't block things. It has to be a permanent block. Now, it doesn't mean permanent, temporary, how long you plan to leave it there. That was already discussed. It just means it's like mugder as not a real wall if it needs something to help it stand there. It doesn't stand on its own. The shach and the taz, paskin, like this most machmer dea. The shach and the kudus akesef, I mean. It's not a shach. Pass like this, most machmer dea. If you need smicha, again, this door broke, so I can't close the door, right? So instead, I put a piece of wood there. Big piece of wood. But the piece of wood can't stand. So I like wedge it in with some pebbles. Even though the pebbles are not kelim, not makabel tuma, they're very innocent objects, most innocent objects in the world. Nonetheless, since that's a low level wall, because it doesn't stand on its own, therefore it doesn't block the tuma. And here we have the machlokes in the Taz and every other Jew who ever lived, Lachor. The Taz says both here in Sifkatan, this long Sifkatan Gimel, and he repeats it later in Sifkatan Yud. He says the Taz, that he says that therefore any door or window which stands on hinges can't block the Tumah, because it only stands because of the hinges and doesn't stand by itself. And therefore it's a stimas arai. That's the Chumrah, the Taz. The Nekudas Agesef says that's crazy, and every single Akron in the world rejects him. And they say that, what about a door on hinges? Says the Taz, nope, ain't no chotzeitz, because after all, it needs the hinges to support it, so it's not a real wall. And everyone else says, what are you talking about? The hinges are built in. That's just part of what it is. So the Shach and the Achronim all say it is chotzeitz, because that's not a, what do you mean, a door is like, this door right here is like a low-level, not serious wall because it needs hinges? No, Adra, it's built very, very nicely.
What about hinges that are made specifically for doors?
That's exactly what they all say at the top. The hinges are made for the doors. They're how it works.
I was reading like a Madrich Kohanim over Pesach, mm-hmm. and he made like a huge chiluk between like regular door hinges and like specially made door like hinges that are hinges for anything, you can use them as a door.
Uh-huh, okay, so here it gets a little tricky. There is the Achronah do point out that if the hinges were made to be used for kelim that are not attached to the ground, then they're makabel tuma, and then it's more of a problem. So if you put your door up with hinges that were manufactured for the sake of things that are not attached to the ground, then it's more of a problem. But I don't think that's common. Whoever puts up doors with hinges that are manufactured not for buildings. I just don't think it's a common thing. He's right, but I don't think it's a common thing. Like, whoever buys hinges that you're meant to use for a night table and use them to put up a door.
This guy claims it's very common.
I don't know. I hope the big bad wolf doesn't come to his house, because he'll huff and puff and blow it down. Okay. Sorry, didn't mean to infringe on anyone's trademarks here. Normal houses. Go to any door in any normal house and tell me if that hinge, anyone ever thought to use it for anything but a house. All right, sorry. Lo Michelle. Mike, yeah.
Why would this discussion be any different than what we said? Obviously, the boards that you put in the mikvah, that only until you actually use it are they considered for the mikvah, but until then, they're not, it's an issue of tilma. You look out tilma. Right? That's what we said.
No, we said the boards of the mikvah, as long as they were meant to be used to build something, and you use them to build something, they're not for kabbal tumah. The problem is just if you made them to be used for kalim, and then you build them into your mikveh, it's a problem. Same thing here. If you made the hinges to be used for a night table, which is a kli, and then you use them to hang your door, it's a problem. But again, I don't think we want to live in a house where you use kli hinges to hang up your doors. I don't think that's normal in life. Middle class society. I don't know how people build in shanty towns outside Bombay, but I don't think that's normal for us. I don't know where the Machaber, maybe he lived in the shanty town outside Bombay. Oh, Mumbai, sorry. My bad. Okay, Viter. Sif Beis. Aruba Shemin Bayis La Liya Ve'ein Bo Poseach Tefach Ukzayis This sounds like a riddle of some sort. Okay, we're not going to get into the Taz. There's a very confusing Taz here. We're like, you know, it's just very hard to understand what he means. You work very hard to understand what he means, and then you see that it was pretty posh. But what's the case here? It's a very clever case. How can you have a mace in a room? Right, good trivia question. And that room's not Tameh, but a different room is. Reasonable question, no? The answer is, here I can do a 2D. You have a two-story house. This is less than a tefach, and the kezias, not a whole mace. The kezias and a mace is dafka right under there. And that's less than a tefach. So, what roof is it under? It's not under the roof of the ground floor. There's a hole right above it. It's under the roof of the second floor. Or why does Israelis call the first floor? It's not under the roof of the ground floor, it's under the roof of the attic. So the attic's coming. Oh, so shouldn't the Tumah travel from the attic to the main floor? No, because it's less than a tefach, so it doesn't let the Tumah through. So, basically, this room is Tahar, and this room is Tumah. If you think about it, it actually makes a lot of sense, because halachically, there is no such thing as this room. There's this room on the right, this room on the left. Neither of them have a mace in them, and neither of them are connected to anything with a mace in them. And then there's the room on top. Halachically, there is no bottom room. There's just a right room and a left room. So the room is defined by the roof. And therefore, the Tumah does not go through. Okay, that is a... It's just a clever Kiddush. I doubt that it happens often. Gimel. Shnei chadarim psuchim l'bayis v'chol achas chatzi zayis mehameis v'dal tosehem ne'ulim habayis tomei v'hem tohorim v'hem niftechu gam heim tohorim. Here is another trivia question. How can you have two rooms with mace in them, and neither of them are Tameh, but a third room is Tameh? So this is based on which three-word, relevant halachic principle? Sof Tumah Lotzeis. What is the principle of Sof Tumah Lotzeis for both sides? The principle of Sof Tumah Lotzeis, right, maybe not everyone learned Olos enough times, but maybe you learned Beitza when you were little or something, right, it's found in the Sefer Beitza. If you're a rabbi, it's important to know olos. My minig was for many, many years, is that whenever there's the learning science for shloshim, I always sign up for olos. That way I chazer olos many times every year, because everyone wants you to chip in for taros, and olos is the taros masechet that a rabbi is going to get shilos about. So it's a good etzah for rabbis.
We don't have people in common for them to do mishnayos.
I don't have to do it every time. It's also good to cause other things sometimes. Whatever. I'm not going to sign up for Megillah. If you're a rabbi, it's like more coming to Torah to sign up for nothing than to sign up for Megillah for a special. The
wow.
The yeah, sign up for Mamatsia. You know, it doesn't have to be Kunchi Mataro. Well, like, whatever. Like, I don't know.
The rabbi sends up from Gil. What are we doing?
Top of the list of hot takes.
Anyway, like, the what does Sof Tuma Watzis mean, Marbosai? It means this. It means this. If there's Tuma in a room with the door closed, then the Tuma only stays in that room. But what if it has to leave that room? Like, for example, what if there is a mace in this room? All the doors and windows are closed. So the Tuma only stays in this room, doesn't go into the building. But the mace has to leave at some point. Right? I mean, they have to take him to the cemetery. Sof Tuma Latzeis. And therefore, the mace has to leave. Now, we don't know if the mace is going to leave through the door or through the window. I mean, in this room, we sort of know he's going to leave through the door. But that means that the door is going to have to open and let the mace through. Therefore, halachically, we say the Tuma goes out that door even though it's closed because of Sof Tuma Latzeis. That it's not clear if that's Doreis or Rabbanan. Sof Tuma Latzeis. It's not a pasuk. There's no pasuk that says Sof Tuma Latzeis. The pasuk says in the Ohel. Right now, again, Ohel, don't use your English word tent. Halachically, the Ohel right now in this room means only this room. It doesn't mean the hallway. Because the door is closed. And we're not Tazniks. You know, the door counts as a proper barrier. Even though it has hinges. But there's a din of Sof Tuma Latzeis mentioned in Mishnayos and Olos and a few times in Shas. The Shach assumes that Sof Tuma Latzeis is only Tuma Derabanan. Maybe it's only Tuma Derabanan. That's the Shach in Shinayim Beis, the Emesukot and Beis. Shavai Shameis B'Sofo Sosim called Tzad, if all the doors are closed. Nami, like about Masfuka Tuma Derabanan. It's only Tuma Derabanan in the next room. Mishum Sof Tuma Latzeis. Right? So says the Shach in Shin Ayin Beis Beis. Tame Midrabanan. Not everyone agrees with the Shach. And therefore, there's some case with Gorbi Mekel. And there's a Yad Avraham, one of the people of Small Print there, says, B'Shach Mashma, that it's only Drabanan. V'Hikshav Zevet Verz L'Moshe. Granted that. That's what Rashi says in one place in Maseches Beitza. That's not what Rashi says in Maseches Eruvin, and then he brings other rayas. He says Halacha Moshe Misinai. The Gam Amagen Avraham Simin Shinyud Aleph Kasa Dashach Lo Dak etc. So says the Magen Avraham. Huva the Yad. I mean, the Yad Avraham goes through. He quotes a million people. It's really just a machlokas between Rashi in one place, Rashi in another place. Okay, obviously there's a machlokas in Rashi. Some people say it's machlokas. Some people say change of mind. Some people say you have to say it's the idea and the couple of answers. We're not getting to that now. He says, no, it's not a pasuk, but it's halacha l'moshe misinai, which is obviously has the chomer of the Doraisa. So the mice, it's an unresolved machlokas, whether Sof Tuma Latzeis is an issued Rabbanan or halacha l'moshe misinai. Sometimes we'll see. We're a little more makel that Sof Tuma Latzeis than about Ohel Mamish. Because maybe it's only Tarbanan, and even Halacha Moshe Misinai, it's a Chiddush, and maybe you shouldn't extend the Chiddush, in the Chavon HaKidusho, but it's not so posh if it's a Raisa Tarbanan, either way it's a rule. Now, what's the clever trivia answer in Sif Gimel? Give me a second. What if you have the following case? The Taz says, why is there no Sof Tuma Latzeis here? After all, the Tuma, why not say Sof Tuma Latzeis? After all, the Tuma has to go out from the first floor, either to the right or to the left. And by the way, what if there are two doors? Which door do we say Sof Tuma Latzeis on? Both doors, unless someone makes a firm decision which door they're going to use to take out the mace. But both doors. That's why it's in Beitza and Erevin, because Beitza and Erevin have two big sugyas of and Gittin, have the big sugyas in Shas of Braver. So the whole question of Braver, what if I decide later? Is that, can that retroactively determine which it is? Okay, mice, we don't say Braver. Anyway, so there's a whole Taz, why in this case don't we say Sof Tuma Latzeis? And it's very complicated what the answer is. L'maisa, the reason here we don't say sof tumulatz is because we say sof tumulatz is pashtos only when there's an opening with a door. Over here, the tum is really in the attic, halachically, so it's under the roof of the attic, and there's not even an opening between the attic and the main floor. It's less than a tefa. And therefore, sof tumulatz means it's as if the door is open. It doesn't mean it's as if there's an opening where there isn't. That's a big... that's actually later. We'll get to it. Let me just, I know Mordechai has hand up. What's in Sif Gimel? Sif Gimel is this. You have a living room, and how do you make a door? Any architects here? Okay, we'll just make doors red. There's like rules for how to like make like doors in like blueprints, but I don't know them. And...
Oh, I think you make a little box.
And here you have two bedrooms. And here you have two bedrooms, and here you have the front door of the house, right? That's your house, right? Living room, two bedrooms. We've lived in dorms like this, probably. Now, here you have Chatzi Kazayas Min Ameis, and here you have Chatzi Kazayas Min Ameis. So therefore, what do we say? We say Tov Tumulatzes. We don't say Tov Tumulikanes. So it's as if this Chatzi Zayas is in the living room. And so this Chatzi Zayas in the living room. So the living room has a cult zayas and is tame. But each of these rooms doesn't have a full kazayas because we view the chatzi kazayas if it's going out, but it doesn't go into the other room. Why would it go in? And therefore, each of these is tahar. The place with the mace is tahar. The place without the mace is tame because of sof tama latzeis, the ain sof tama likaneis. And that's a general rule. If, let's say, I'm in my apartment, right? A Cohen's in his apartment. If he puts the mace in the bedroom and closes the door and sits in the living room, that's usher. Because sof tama latzeis, the tum goes into the living room. But if he puts the mace in the living room and he closes his door and locks himself in his bedroom, doesn't have to lock, just close the door in his bedroom, then that's okay, because it ain't sof tama likaneis.
Well, run the door and stop it from going out?
Ah, because that's the rule of sof tama latzeis, that doors don't stop the tumor from coming out, but it has to come out eventually. That's the chiddush of sof tama latzeis. He's not in the same ohel. No one's in the same ohel as the mace. But he did sof tama latzeis. It's as if those two chatzi zayasim were here.
In the case of in this room, where were the tumas spread? Spreads to the whole door.
Spreads to the hallway.
But not into the rooms with doors on
it. Ah, correct. Meaning, here, that's very important. This is the next set. Let's say, Barry David's classroom, a Cohen was in there with the door closed. And there was a mace here. Through sof tama latzeis, the tumah would spread to the hallway. But Rabbi David's classroom would still be fine. Because it only goes out, not in. So as long as he kept the door to Rabbi David's classroom closed, he's okay. But once he opens the door to Rabbi David's classroom, then that's mamish the same ol as the hallway. And then it's an isser.
But the rest of the building without doors, like the lobby and all
that. It would spread to all those places, right?
Wow.
Right, if there's a mason here, even the door closed, we didn't sof tama latzeis, it would spread to all the open areas of the building, all the rooms with doors open. And it would even spread to the, like the what do you call it, awning, like the roof outside the main gate.
Oh, yeah.
Because it has to go out the front door. Right? But, and you said, oh, we might take it out the basement door. Okay, so it spread it to both. Because if you're a sofik, how it'll go out, it spreads to all. But it would not spread into closed roofs, because tumah doesn't go in, it only goes out through doors. It's not Rosh Chapter's Kiddush. It's an old Achronim, but we're not up there yet.
Okay.
Yes, that's what I meant by if it's Darbanan, the poskim assume that it doesn't apply to non Jews, only Jews, and even if it's Doraisa, they assume halachim must be seen. You can't make more Kiddush than it is. And the Chabal Kiddush only applies to Jews. Correct. We're not machran sof tama latzeis by Goyim, which makes things easier in hospitals and such.
Does it spread instantaneously? So the moment.
Yes, instantaneously. Instantaneously.
Yeah.
Meaning, if I'm in the hallway of a hospital and a guy dies in the room, even if the door is closed, if I'm a Kohen, I'm doing an Aveira by staying in that hallway. But if I'm in another room on that floor and I close my door, then I'm okay.
If you close your door after the guy died.
Well, and then I was honest in that, until I close the door. I have to close the door as quickly as possible. But then I can't open it again until they bring the body to the morgue.
Say that it's
not also going to be in a room where a mace once was, only where the tumma is, where the mace is now.
This would also be enough, right? So let's say.
Correct. Rosh Chapter also mentions that maybe if the issue is Lee Tommy, then it would be usher. But if the issue is Scarborough's the mace, then maybe not. Correct. Now, the let's move on to Sifdala. Then Sifdala. This is going to be the comp. Who's our photographer nowadays? I think it's right, Zakaria. Zakaria. Right, you're a Zakaria Zach, right?
Yes, I actually am Zakaria.
You're the only Zakaria Zach in this.
Aside from Zakaria.
But he's not a Zach.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. We have, what do we have, two Zakarias and three Zachs?
Yes.
And you're the only one who's on both lists.
Yes.
You're like that middle of the Venn diagram.
Very harsh.
Okay. Chotzer Mukevah Zizen Vachsa Draws. A chotzer, what is a chotzer? Imagine like chotzeris, like in the old Yerushalayim nowadays, right? It's a chotzer with houses on all sides. And if there's houses on all sides of the chotzer, who cares? The chotzer is open air. The problem is the chotzer has an awning going all around. So the middle of the chotzer is open air, but there's an awning out connecting all the houses. So, in Kol Piskei Avot Machalonos Ne'ula, now if you look in the Shacham Tazer, when you're getting into the details, they point out, you have to like, some of the words in this sif are written a little bit lavdavka, so I'll just sort of read it, you know, the way all the Achronim understand, which is what the Mechaber meant. They don't have to change it. They just have to, you know, make sure they just have to clarify. Ne'ulim tome yotzeis letach lezizim achlad roos v'atam, meaning, let's say there's a mason in one house, and all the doors are closed. If all the doors are closed, then the tome goes out to under the awning, and since the awning connects all the houses, they all share an awning, it goes into all the houses. If the doors are open, v'atam yishum the whole sof tuma lotzeis there shamron ki ilu yotza. I'm going to skip the end of the Rama and continue the mechaber. Beim nifta chalon opesach mitzad ha'acher ve'osum shal chatzer chul ne'ulam ina tuma yotza tachas lazizen. Very important rule. If a house has two doors or windows, and the post can point out, it only counts the windows dalav al dalav tefachim, but normal windows are. And you open one door, there's no more sof tuma lotzeis. If one door is open, there's no sof tuma latzeis on the other door, because there's an open door here. It's only sof tuma latzeis if all the doors are closed. Meaning, I can save that side from sof tuma latzeis if the door is open on this side.
That doesn't mean you're going to go out that door.
Correct. Even if I haven't decided to take me out the door, but if that door is open, the rule is that it's only called sof tuma latzeis if it's all closed. If one door is open, even if I'm not going to take me out that door, there's no sof tuma latzeis. Why? Because since it's physically open, it could physically go out there even if I don't plan to.
So it's open after the tumas, meaning a person dies?
It doesn't. Yeah, again, if you're asking like whether Pelim or Nitma, then once they're Nitma forever doesn't help. But for Kohanim, every second. For example, let's say a house has two doors, front door and back door, and the front door has an awning. That's pretty common, right? If the front door is closed, and I close the back door, the Kohen can't go under the awning. If I open the back door, he can go under the awning. If I close the back door, he can't go under the awning again. If I open it, he can go under the awning again. Okay. Just that second.
But this is only true if the door is closed at the time that the mace died.
No. The mace is in the house. The mace is in the house all day. For the 5 minutes that all the doors are closed, the Kohen can't be under the awning. For the 5 minutes the back door is open, he can go under the awning of the front door.
The door was open before the Tumah came in, and then the door stays open, and now there's...
No, but the mace is still in the house.
Yeah, but it's...
So he emits Tumah every second.
But why is it shown that the subject to the din of Sof Tumah Latzeis, the door is open beforehand, so it went out right away? It's not like a...
No! No, because as long as the mace is there, the Tumah keeps going out. As long as the mace is in the house, the Tumah keeps going out. Every second, there's a new Sof Tumah Latzeis, if it applies.
So to us is a different tumah.
Yes, but every second it's mischadish.
No, but if the door is open before, that means the moment the mace of the person died, there was tumah deraisa that went out through the door. So there's also so tumah is on top of the tumah deraisa thing.
Yes, because every second there's new tumah. I don't care if the mace has been there for a day. Every second is as if it's the first second.
But why would there be, let's say it's a zero derabanan, why would there be a zero derabanan to add on to the derabanan to the derabanan that's already sitting there? Wouldn't it only make sense to make a zero derabanan?
No.
The door that's been closed and then you're down?
No, because every second there's no tumah. The history is irrelevant. Just because it was Matami 5 minutes ago doesn't affect what it'll do now. It's totally irrelevant. Totally irrelevant. Now, let me just draw this case. This is a complicated case, but it's really very simple if you just think about it logically. I'll just finish them. Lachin gagna bolten l'malo l'chutz al pischi ba'abotim b'tuma b'echad abotim kol abotim shabeskeim suchim tim meyim. Okay, what does he mean? What he means by this is actually pretty simple. I will draw here a... how do I do this? 2D? Anyone know how to draw 3D?
Oh, we can do this 2D.
Here's my chatzer, right? Here's my open chatzer. Here is my... here is my awning, or whatever you call it. Right.
You know, some people leave their houses. They don't get rained on. And, you know, they want open space in the chatzer. They also want some place where they can stand by their front door in the rain and not get wet.
And here are all of the houses. Right? 8 families live in this chatzer. Right? Is that okay?
7.
That's what I said. There's a homeless family in the middle. Okay. You guys are so insensitive to the plight of the poor and downtrodden. Here's the mace. And every house has 2 doors. You can also count windows, by the way. Every house has 2 doors. Every house has 2 doors. Now, what happens? What happens is this. Here's the mace. And I don't know. Here's the coin. Now, what's the rule here? The rule in this case is let's say this. If the front door is open, then the tumah spreads in this house. If the both doors are closed, then the tumah also spreads. Just if the front door is open, it spreads because of ohel mamish. Right, so the front door is open, the awning, and the house are the same ohel. And if both doors are closed, it spreads because it's sof tumah latzeis. What's the only case where it won't spread to the awning? If the front door is closed and the back door is open, then tumah does not spread. What I mean to say is this. If here is the awning and here is the house with the mace, then it's really very, very simple if you think about it. What are the possibilities? I'm technically there, I guess, 4 possibilities. It doesn't matter. If this door is open, then the tumah spreads, and that's ohel mamish, right? It's all one ohel. I don't care whether the back door is open or closed. It's irrelevant. If this door is closed, is closed, and this door is open, then there's no tumah in the awning, because it's blocked by the door. If they're both closed, then the tumah spreads because of sof tumah latzeis. It's not mamish the same ohel, but it's still sof tumah latzeis. That's what they're trying to say. Now, once the tumah spreads into the awning, is the kohen problematic?
No.
If his door is closed, no, because even if sof tumah latzeis, ain't sof tumah likanes, right?
So the Kohen, let's take these 2 houses. One Kohen has his door open, one Kohen has his door closed. This Kohen is mutter, and this Kohen is usser.
Which means that, what does this mean? If I live in an apartment building, and someone calls and says, someone died in the apartment down the hall,
someone died in the apartment down the hall, or it's a part like an Israeli apartment building with open stairwells, right? So you could even guy 8 floors up, but there's no walls in between. In America, there's often like fire doors like between the stairwells. But someone dies in my apartment building, and I'm a Kohen. Even if their apartment is locked, it's Sof Tom Alatzes into the hallway. So what do I have to do? I have to stay home and keep my door closed. What if I want to go out? I can't. I just can't. I'm stuck. What if someone wants to bring me groceries?
They can't open the door.
So how do I get someone to bring me groceries? What if my wife wants to come home? How can my wife come home?
She went to a second room.
Exactly. I go into the bedroom and close the door. She goes into the living room. Thomas, now the living room is in the Olam Eif, but it's not next to the bedroom. Then she closes the front door, and now I can come out of the bedroom, no problem. Okay, so you just have to be a logical thinker if you want to be a Kohen and not do a Veros, or if you're not capable of being a logical thinker, then just daven very hard for Bilam Avoslanetzah. Okay, that's what this machaber is trying to say. Okay, and then they get into a lot of details in the Nosei Kelim, but that would really confuse more than it would clarify at this point. So we're going to leave most of that. But I wanted to mention two things. Number one, the Rambam. What did the Rambam say? Back to the Rambam in the middle. Some people are machmir for kohanim. Whoa, what if there's a mason in the city? And remember, old cities had gates, right? Now, in the old city of Jerusalem, they ruined it. Because in Shar Yafo, there's actually a breach in the wall, right? There's no like roof. Like where the pedestrians go in Shar Yafo, it's like a roofed entryway. But when cars drive in,
we gotta blame
Kaiser Wilhelm.
That's why.
Wilhelm, I thought it was Franz Josef. Are you sure?
I think it's Wilhelm number one, not Wilhelm number two.
But okay, whatever. Anyway, when the Kaiser visited, they wanted to make it a little bit for his motorcade to go through. Right. Good history. Are you a history major?
Yes.
Okay.
Even if he wasn't, you know that.
Anyway, the Lemaisa. But let's imagine old cities. Old cities had walls all around, and there was a gate, right? But the gate was like a doorway that had a roof. So let's say there's a mace in the city. Where do you have to bring the mace to bury him? This is not meant to be a hard question. Outside of the city to the cemetery. And to get from inside the city to outside of the city, you have to pass through the gate. So Kohanim should not be allowed to walk through the city gate, because Sof Tom Alatzes. The Tumah is going to end up going through there. If there's anyone dead in the city, Kohanim can't go through the gate. That's a big chumrah. Because Sof Tom Alatzes. And therefore he says, Yesh machmirim leKohanim. That they can't go through the gate of the city whenever anyone's dead in the whole city. Because Sof Tom Alatzes. V'yesh matirin. And yesh matirin. V'amekel lohipsid b'makom shlo nogel hachmir. And really, if there's no clear minag, in our town there's no clear minag, you didn't lose anything by being mekel. I mean, he's not saying you're crazy for being machmir. What's the machlokas here? The machlokas here is the lundus of Sof Tom Alatzes.
Bifurcated
Sof
Tom Alatzes.
What?
Bifurcated Sof Tom
Alatzes. Because it's like the pedestrians go through Shar Yafo. There's a roof over you.
There's tons of space on each side.
Ah, that's the machlokas. What about... By the way, you could do this without a city, right? What if you have... Here's a courtyard. I can't do this. What about the Shar Ha'ir? So what's the Chakira? The Chakira in Sof Tumah Latzes. Do you say it's as if the Tumah went wherever it will go? Wherever it will go, it's as if it already went. Then it already went through the Shar Ha'ir. Then the Shar Ha'ir is Usser. That's very, very clever. Okay, notice he'll point out the funeral parlor is not Usser. Even though the mace is going to go in there, since he can go back out, that's not considered going in. But the Shar Ha'ir, which he only goes out, would be Usser. But what's the other tzad? No. It can't be that whenever a mace is going to go somewhere, it's already there. That's not what it means. It just means that
a door that has to be opened doesn't block the Tumah. A door that must be opened to let the mace out is as if it's already opened. Meaning, you can't, what we're saying is, if the mace is in OL1, you can't say, since you're going to go into OL2, that's also time. No, that's the first side. But if there's one big OL, just there's a door dividing into half. If the door divides the OL into half, then you can't, the door can't block the Tumah if it's going to be open. And then Shar Ha'ir is mutter, because Shar Ha'ir is not part of the same roof just with a door blocking it. It's an entirely different location. Like, how do you get to Shar Ha'ir? You go outside through the street in the open air, and you walk for half an hour, and then you get to Shar Ha'ir. So that's the Hakir here. Is it as if the mace has traveled the whole funeral procession already? Or is it, no, it's only one Ohel. Sof Tum Lutz only works in one Ohel. It just means there's one Ohel with a closed door. We view it as if the door is open. But it still has to be one Ohel. Meaning, what we're basically saying is because Sof Tum Lutz applies even to a second Ohel. That's what the Machmirim think. Or do we say, no, Sof Tum Lutz applies only within the same divided ohel. It's a divided ohel by a door, but it's only within one ohel. You open the door, and it's all one ohel. And that's the second day of the Ramah, and that is how we paskin, the Achronim paskin. I mean, it's machlokas, but most Achronim paskin like this second opinion. I meant to write mutter. Most Achronim paskin like this second opinion. We're not going to put all the names on the board. Interestingly, in the Piskei Tshuva, he quotes from a sefer from the Shut Maharit, who says, maybe a compromise. Shar Ha'ir is not also going to Sof Tum Lutzeis. It's just you have to be careful, because maybe while you're walking through, they'll bring the mace and you won't notice. Okay, Lemaisa, we're not kosher for that either, but it's a good mussar that if a kohen's going someplace where they might bring a mace, he should be extra vigilant. But Lemaisa, we're making on Shar Ha'ir, or whatever equivalents might be shayach, might be applicable nowadays. I don't know how often comes up in modern cities.
I have a friend who's a Kohen who avoids like the canopy of the funeral home in the west side. That would still be the way you pass, right? Because they would go out the door and go into the canopy.
Okay, so if there's a mace in the funeral home and the door is closed, then partially you have to avoid the canopy. That's regular Sof Tum Lutzeis. The canopy is part of the funeral home. There's just a closed door, and they're going to open the door. But let's say there's no mace in the funeral home, but there's a mace in the hat. Then he does not have to avoid the funeral home. Why? That is the Shach Sivkatan Tess, who says there's no. It's not called Sof Tum Lutzeis if they're going to be mace into the building and back out. That's not Sof Tum Lutzeis. It's only Sof Tum Lutzeis if they're going to go out, not if they're going to go in and out. So therefore, your friend doesn't have to knock. But tell him to look at the Shach Sivkatan Tess.
I guess the part of the question would be, you don't always know if it's a funeral going on.
Correct. Meaning, if there's a funeral home and the door is closed, because even if the funeral's not going on, the mace could be there, right? That's true. If I'm a Kohen, there's a funeral home and the door is closed, I wouldn't walk under the awning, just because you never know when there's a mace there. It would be correct. Unless I know there's no mace there, right? Because if there's a funeral in an hour, it might look totally dead and empty. But the mace is there. They're just getting ready for the funeral. Sorry, it might look totally empty, but there's a mace is there. They're just getting ready for the funeral.
Would make a difference if it was on Shabbos or not?
So that's what this Maharit says, that on Shabbos, since he thinks it's not Sof Tum Lutzeis, it's just like you have to be careful. And since on Shabbos, no one carries mace anywhere, because Jews don't bury on Shabbos, therefore you don't have to be careful.
What about on first day or second day of Advent?
Okay, but depend on your local minute, because that's a practical question. Okay, Viter.
Sorry, Benner?
Yes.
What was the conclusion about the awning of the funeral home?
The conclusion is that the Kohen shouldn't walk under that awning, because there might be a mace in the building. You never know when there's a mace in the funeral home, right? Because sometimes they bring the mace, you know, and it looks empty, but they're just getting ready for a funeral soon. So I'd be careful if I was a Kohen, unless I knew there was no mace in the building.
Don't they also have a fridge where they keep mace in for a few days?
I don't think that fridge is in the funeral home, though.
In the morgue, right?
Yeah. Oh. No, the morgue is not in the funeral home.
Oh, I'll call you that.
Yeah, no, they only bring the mace to the funeral home like Bashaito. Oh, okay. But Bashaito could be within an hour, you know. The morgue is generally in the hospital. I don't know if there are other morgues not in the hospital. The morgues are generally in the hospital. Now, even if there are bodies in the morgue in the hospital, usually that's not a problem for Kohan and the rest of the hospital, because the morgue has many doors separating it from the rest of the hospital, and it's not so tumultuous because there's only one special exit for bodies from the morgue, which does not go through the rest of the hospital. So usually it's not an issue, but you know, you have to make it. You know, that's usually. Obviously, anyone can build a hospital however they want. And theoretically, look, if the body in the refrigerator of the morgue, it has to go to the hallway of the morgue. And if doors are open between the hallway of the morgue and the rest of the hospital, then the whole hospital has sof tumultuos. From what I've understood, usually there's so many doors separating the hallway of the morgue from the rest of the hospital that one of them is always closed. But, you know, definitely, I don't know. I'm not an expert in hospital architecture, so we'll leave it at that. There are people who are. There are, like, rabbis who, like, no, they might spend, like, a year, like, learning the ins and outs of every room and every hallway and every door in every hospital in Israel and maybe someplace in America, too. And, you know, you need to know a lot of mitzvahs to pass this. It's not enough to just know what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. Okay.
If you mention this offhand, are we saying like sof tumultuos for non-Jewish bodies? Like, what about like a non-Jewish
body? So someone mentioned that the Achronim write that sof tumultuos is a chiddush only for Jews. So there's no sof tumultuos for non-Jews, which means that if I live in America and a guy dies in my building, then as long as his apartment is closed, I can walk through the hallway because there's no sof tumultuos. What if his apartment door is open? We'll get to it. I was sort of saving it for the guy's sif. There is a guy sif. Hagav, but let's do the Ramah at the end of Dalet. Shnei gagin sheinu nogin zeh b'zeh afi sheim b'neim rak pach mishlosha lo havi chibur l'tomet d'lor minu lovet l'hachmir. If there's two, this we also got in the picture. If there's two roofs, this is going to be a side view. Right? Here's the mace, and here is the kohen, and here is the street. Right? Even though there's only two tfachim, based tfachim between them, we don't say loved b'hachmir. We don't say it's of one roof because of loved. As long as there's a kol shu between the roofs, the tuma doesn't transfer. Okay, the Taz earlier is a little out of order. Comment on this phrase points out we also don't say loved b'hachmir. We don't say loved at all by Tomas Kohen. Not b'hachmir, not b'hachmir. Just he happened to be mentioning we don't say loved b'hachmir here. We don't say loved by Tomas Kohen. Even any break is a break. However, but if a different case, here's the street, and here's the kohen, and here's the mace, and here's one roof, and here's another roof, then that's all one roof. Chavad Rami means we bring what's on top down. It's one. So roof is one roof, even if part of it is high, part of it is low, as long as it overlaps. So this is all one roof. That's why you have to be very careful. For example, if you have you're walking outside a cemetery and you're under the branches of a tree, very thick branches, and they're all one big canopy, and that tree might overlap, like it's this high, but it overlaps with the next tree that's only this high, which then overlaps with the next tree, which is this high, and that goes over a grave. It doesn't look like you're under the same oval as the grave, but you are, and that's an issue d'oraisa. So you have to be careful about these things.
So did Kohanim like not visit like jungles or forests because like somewhere?
No, we're not machzik that there are bodies. Stop. But Kohanim should be very careful when they walk on the street of a cemetery. Basically, there are many cemeteries where it's also required to walk on that sidewalk on that side of the street. And Kohanim are aware of this. I was once on a Shabbaton for my wife's seminary. My good friend is the head of the cemetery, and we're all seminary. Not the, I don't know who the head of the cemetery is. And I'm walking with his kids and my kids to shul, and all of a sudden his kids are gone. I'm like, where'd they go? And they're on the other side of the street. And I realized I'm walking next to the cemetery of Yerucham or whatever, and there are trees, and they just
without saying anything. It was just instinct. It reflects instinctively. They crossed the street and went on the sidewalk on the other side of the street. Okay? Good chinuch.
Is there a wall in this case?
Yeah, there's a wall, but there is a wall. Ah, good. This is very complicated things that are discussed in the notes of Caleb here, but let me just illustrate the two important things about walls. Ready? If there's a wall like this, which there was like a, I don't know, 4-foot wall outside the cemetery, does not block the Tumah. Why? Because there's still an ohel left above it. But if there's a wall like this, then it blocks the Tumah. Basically, if the wall goes all the way up to the roof, it blocks the Tumah. But if the wall doesn't go all the way up to the roof, it doesn't block the Tumah because there's still an ohel above the wall. So, for example, if, you know, like houses have like eaves, right? You know what an eave is? Yeah, E-A-V-E. You ever build a house? You ever hear of eavesdropping?
Yeah.
Why is it called eavesdropping? Because you hide under the E near the window to listen to what people are saying in the house before you tap their phones. You're eavesdropped, right? That's eavesdropping. The eave means if there's a roof of the house, it slants past the house. Why does it slant past the house? Rain. Not to allow eavesdropping.
Rain.
Because rain, because if the roof ended where the house ended, the rain would go down and ruin the foundations. So it goes a little further, so the rain will be rocked from the house and won't damage the house. Okay, nowadays, different houses are built differently. I'm not hoping. But at least once upon a time, that was crucial importance. So what if there's an eave of the house? So if there's an eave of the house and there's a mace in the house, a coin's allowed to be under that eave because the wall goes all the way up to the eave and it's no problem. The only thing is, if a door opens under that eave, then if the door is open, he can't be there because it's all one big ohel. And if the door is closed and it's sof tumalatzes, he also can't be there. But if there's no door to under that eave, the coin can be under the eave because then there's a wall all the way up.
I assume that when we say that there's the overlapping two ceilings are as if they're on the same level. We don't say that with a kula here such that if it went up to the first...
No, the wall takes into account the real height.
Oh.
Okay. Yes, you're Dov. Halacha Laisa. You're the only Halacha Laisa guy here.
According to that quick Google search, there is an ancient civilization buried in the Amazon rainforest.
Yeah, but Lamaisa, they're Goyim, and we don't know exactly where they're buried, and how they're buried.
Like
we managed to see the graves.
According to the satellites.
Okay, I'm not an expert on rainforest. Is Mamish like the entire rainforest, like a million square miles, one big OL?
Lamaisa, yes.
Okay, I don't know.
I mean, you also have to make those kind of assumptions, because like if let's say if you like believe like American Indians or like the other Shwatan, then it really is.
Okay, we're gonna stick to believing things that are accepted by most people. Okay, if you're going to believe every rumor you hear of anyone being the Aseres HaShvatim, then there'll be no going left in the world at all. And what will you do on Shabbos?
We're not there too much all by going,
so. I understand, but. We're machmer to us all by goyim, but not when there are all kinds of spekos and stud and lahakel here. So if you told me, no, it's avad ol she'en kamohu, that's one thing. But I'm a little misopic. It could be there's walls blocking it. By the way, when I say the walls go all the way up, it doesn't have to go all the way up. It just has to not have a break of the tefach. So, for example, if there's these graves in the Amazon rainforest, but, like, at some point, like, around those graves, it's so overgrown that there's not even a tefach space to get under the next trees, then it's a wall. A wall doesn't have to be solid. It just has to have holes less than a tefach. So anyway, Lemaisa, my intuition is that if there's a civilization, if there are found graves in the satellite imagery in the Amazon rainforest, then we can still, I still wouldn't be machmer. Again, I have no personal plans to go to the Amazon rainforest. But right. But you never know. I'm sure it would be very interesting. Okay, bye. Yes.
Is the Ramaz case also if the mace's roof is higher than the coin's roof?
Yes, doesn't matter. Makes no difference which is higher, which is lower. Last thing is this very controversial Taz Sifkat Yud. Very controversial Taz Sifkat Yud. I still have a little space. The mace in the basement. By the way, Agav, the mace in the basement, right? By the way, Agav, we learned from here that you can't have a skeleton in your closet. Because even if you close the door, I mean, whether you metaphorically have a skeleton in your closet, it's not my discussion now. Hopefully you don't have too many. If you do, we can choose about it. I can recommend what to talk to, whatever. But you shouldn't actually put a skeleton in your closet, because then you can't invite a kohen over. Even if you lock the closet. So come a lotzeis out of the closet and out of the room where the closet is into your living room and into the hallway of your apartment building, and then you can invite a kohen over. So that's why people should not have skeletons in their closets. This is a big issue sometimes for people who are in, often people who are in dental school, like they take skulls home, etc. So you have to be very careful to make sure. You have to look into nice and old. So what's big enough to be tamed to oval, what isn't. Don't bring anything that's tamed to oval in your house, because even if you put it in a closet, it's still soft to malotzeis, and it doesn't help. Although if it's goyish, then as long as you lock the closet, that's okay, because we don't say soft to malotzeis by goyim.
Why do we assume you're going to actually take it out of the house? Like in this case,
so that's an interesting question. What about soft to malotzeis if you don't plan to take it out of the house? So in this case, the skulls, etc., you do plan to take it out of the house. You're not going to keep it there forever. What about a skeleton in your closet? What about the mummies in the museums? Right? Is that soft to malotzeis if, like, it's not going anywhere? That is its final resting place. Again, skeletons in the closet, it's hard to say that you don't plan to take it out. But, you know, that's a big question. What are the mummies in the museums and everything? If they're not, I think they're always in a locked room, like they don't let people go in and touch them.
But they move exhibits sometimes. I don't know. It's like, museums do change.
Yeah, interesting. So that is, it could be that in that case we wouldn't say sof to malatzeis. In any case, they're all goyim. So we don't say sof to malatzeis, so it's not a big issue, but it's a big, it might even be a chokes tanoim and olos, or it might not. Whether, if you plan to leave it indoors, is that sof to malatzeis or not?
You say lock,
No, just close. Locking is relevant. Okay. The very important task of cutting yours deals with a case where, there was a mace. What was this exact case? Basically, there was a mace in a house, and Kohanim needed to go there, or needed to go, whatever, someplace connected to it. So they said, put the mace in the basement. No problem. Put the mace in the basement. What about Sof to Malatzeis? No problem. You ever live in a house where the basement had its own door to the outside? Like a cellar door? The basement had its own door. Put that mace in the basement with its own door. Intend to take it out that door. And it's no problem. So what was the big machlokes there? First, the Taz says, hold on a second. There's also a door from the basement to the house, and it's on hinges, so it doesn't block the tumma. Okay, but everyone argues on him. On that, the problem is this. There's a din. This is from if anyone in Olos remember the Biv HaKamor, the sewage, the big sewage lines, right? Sewage lines, good sewage lines are more than a tefach, so they spread tumma. There's a din called Kever Sotya. Yeah?
Sorry, when you say sewage line, you mean from the end of the pipe to the end pipe, or the inside to the inside?
Well, there was a mace in the sewage in the Mishnah Noelos. Like they went from your house to the outdoors.
And we say wide, like the pipe is wide. I'm saying the width is the interior or the exterior?
Interior. This is what if you have a kzayis and a mace in your sewage line? Does it go into your house or not? So what does the Mishnah say to all those? Well, if the sewage line, it wasn't like nowadays, like it was closed on all the sides unless you opened it. If it's closed on the inside and the outside, then it's sof to malotzeis, but only the outside, not to the inside, because it's only lotzeis, so it's no problem. But if you open the flap to the sewage, they had like an open flap to the sewage into your house, then they would go into your house as long as it was a tefach space, because it only travels through space of the tefach. Okay, but
There's a din called kever sasum. What does kever sasum mean? Kever sasum means that a kever sasum means a closed grave. If there's a closed grave, it doesn't block the tumah inside. A closed grave doesn't block the tumah inside. Only if the grave has an opening. What do I mean by this? Let's say I build a tomb, right? Grant's tomb.
Yeah.
And you're the only one who's ever looked at Grant's tomb, right? Everyone else that grew up in New York and doesn't know it exists. Okay. And it's actually not a tomb. I think he's buried in the ground underneath.
He's from New York.
What?
He's also from New York.
Yeah, from the five towns. I'm not from the five boroughs.
So are all Jews.
Okay.
Anyway, we're both saying enough jokes. That's just to lighten all the tomasola. If I build, let's say I put a mace in a building and I just build a whole like stone building around it, all closed up. Then it doesn't keep the tumah inside, since it's closed up and there's no way for the tumah to like get out. Since there's no opening. It's as if the whole thing is a dead body. And if I touch the side, I'm tamei. If I climb on top, I'm tamei. What's the basic rule of a kever sasum? This is a very important rule called kever sasum. Where does kever sasum come up? There's a lot of details. This is very big Shiloh to Poland trips, right? Because there are places in the ghetto where there are dead bodies that were like buried like under the building. And like, they're totally enclosed by the collapsed building. That could be a kever sasum. What's the rule? This will come up again, but there are three types of mason in enclosed areas. What do I mean? What I mean is this. Okay, let's say two types for now. Kever sasum means if, let's say here's the ground, and here is a mace, and here is a mace. This mace has a little opening, right? That's a tefach wall. Anything less than tefach doesn't exist. It's not an opening. Where's the tumah here? Let's make the tumah red. The tumah is only over here. And if I put anything here, it will also start spreading the tumah because the roofs will combine, right? So for example, if I walk with an umbrella over here, the tumah will spread through the umbrella, because now it's all one big ohel. But assuming I don't walk with an umbrella there, then the tumah only stays in there. A kohen could stand here. That kohen's fine. He could walk on the roof. He could jump up and down on the roof. A kohen could stand next to it and touch the outside. No problem. Because the tumah is stuck inside. The walls block tumah. The only thing a kohen can't do is put his finger in here or, like, extend something to extend the roof from the hole.
What's the bump you're looking at?
Yeah. Yeah. What about this guy? This guy is a mace in an enclosed area. Here, what do we say about the tumah? It's all as if it's called metame kol sevivav. The Kohen cannot touch this side. The Kohen cannot stand here. The Kohen can't even hang glide above it. Because it's as if that whole thing is one big mace. Says the Drisha, what if you put the mace in the basement? All the doors of the basement are closed. And then the basement is like one big mace and it's behind me the house. Because the house is on top of the basement. That's the Chumrah of the Drisha. The Chumrah of the Drisha is, and then he says, but I think this case is okay because in the cellar door of the basement, there's like a grill, and if you add up all the holes, they're more than tefach by tefach. So it's not considered kever sasum.
Is it in the side of the room? Has the basement in the side of the room? A room where it's just fully enclosed in the house?
And that's everyone's caution. I actually don't know how to defend the Drisha. It's a problem. And then, it's funny, you know how sometimes like someone can say something and it's not true, but you're sort of fooled by them, and you're like, answer their question based on their assumptions, then you want to say, hold on a second, I don't even agree with their assumptions. So that happened to the Taz. He like argued on the Drisha within his assumptions, and then there's something called Hagosa Taz in the small print, which means he went back and added things in the second edition. He says, yeah, all of that was only according to the Drisha, but really, it's Pashadi's wrong. Why is it Pashadi's wrong? Because what if you have, again, I don't know how to defend the Drisha, because the Taz and Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Chiddush Rishonim all say what Ari said. Every single sugya in Mishnais and Gemara is against the Drisha, because that's every house in every room, right? But what about the following case? This is why, now, it can't be that the Drisha was stupid, right? So I'm not saying that, you know, the Drisha just didn't know how to learn even the first line of Shas. He must have had some svara or been misunderstood or something. I just don't know what it was, right? What about this case? Here you have a closed door and the mason side. What's the din of the tumah then? Do you say it's a kever sasum and mitame kol sevivav? This din is called kever sasum mitame kol sevivav, which including above it in the air. So says the Drisha, this is a kever sasum. Therefore, if you put a mace in the basement, the whole basement of the tummy, anything touching the basement, so your whole house is tummy. But the Hagos Taz and every single Akron says that's crazy. Then every house is a kever sasum, then every room is a kever sasum, then every halacha we've been in Tinla with the mace is locked in a room. What do you mean it's a kever sasum if you lock the door to the room? So Jerusha might make no kip to know every one of those had a little air hole that was a tefach to, like, you know, the street. But maybe that's what we'd say. But that's very dochuk. What are all the other achronim saying? All the achronim say, no, it's not kever sasum. They even quote him, first mishnah in Olos. If you close the door, it's not a kever sasum. If you board up the door with nails, it is. This is the first kever sasum. Say, it's not a kever sasum because it has a door. Sasum, kever sasum doesn't mean there's no open, that it's not open. It means there's no opening. And that's how we paskin. We do not hold like the Drisha. We hold like the other Achronim, which means that the Tumah stays here. And the Kohen is allowed to be here. The Kohen's allowed to be touch the outside, etc. The Tumah's blocked inside. And that's how we paskin. If the Tumah's in the Kever Sosom without any egress whatsoever, it's matami all around it. It goes through all the walls. But if the tumah is in an enclosed place with a means of egress that's closed, that's not a kever sasum. That's a house with the door closed. And therefore, the tumah sticks inside.
Just a question on a kever sasum. And Shinai Barak, the Taz, talking about even from it, so you can't walk on top of a grave. He says, but nowadays, you can't walk on top of a grave because da'ina kulam stunim ve'yeshbag v'rim chalal harbeh. What is that?
Okay. I'll get to that in a second. I'll get to it now, if you want. There's two kinds of... let me just give you an example. How about in America, when the dead people are in coffins? That's a real kever sasum. The coffin is just shut and buried under dirt. Or even in Israel. You know, in Israel, where there's no coffins, it doesn't mean they just like lower the body in and then like fill dirt on top of them. Because the minig is that it's disrespectful to throw dirt on a mace. So what do they do in Israel? They lower the body in, they build a roof over him with cinder blocks, and then they throw the dirt in. So he also ends up in like a little bit of a space. So that coffin is a kever sasum, says the Taz. Why can't I walk in a cemetery above the graves? Why don't we say that the ground and the lid of the coffin blocks the tumah? The answer is because it's kever sasum. If you wanted to make a new kind of cemetery, which would not be possible, where there's like underground like ventilation system with like an open tefach to each grave had a compartment with an open tefach, and like the other end of that ventilation system was like the middle of nowhere, then you could walk on the cemetery because it's not a kever sasum. But obviously it's not.
You got a multi-level burial?
Yes, but it would be ridiculously difficult and not necessary. It wouldn't be practical. Anyway, what does the Taz mean? The Taz means this. There's another chiluk. Okay, anyway, that's the end of it. You know what? Let's leave that.
I think we're almost finished this simon. Let's just quickly finish this simon, Rabosai. At the end of this is talking more about Ben Onum La Chaveiro.
If you build a door on a Keter Susum, you will then be that one on top of it. You think the status will change.
Ah, meaning if I have this Keter Susum and I break some of the wall and put a door there, then I can walk on top of it. Yeah, and the Konami. The end of this Rama says, HaKohanim Eim Yecholim Lokov L'Kurva Meishi Yotziu HaMeishim Mekom Mekveishim Yerushalim L'Kanesh L'Beisam Lov Mokom Shderach L'Otzkal HaMeishim. Let's say a Kohen says, I want to get through like the hallway to my apartment building, but your dead father is in your apartment. So I'm suing you and demanding that you remove him from your apartment so I can go home. Who wins? In Ben Onum HaVeiro, the answer is the Kohanim lose. Unless that's the minog. Meaning if the minog is to keep him in the house, do proper tipol and covet, etc., Kohanim have no rights. If the minog is taken out of the house right away, the Kohanim have rights. It goes by the minog. Okay, there's a lot of details in the Mefarshim here, but we won't go into them because nowadays, A, people usually bring the mason out of the house pretty quickly. So they don't have to go to court over it, or even just run to the Rav. And B, one should generally try to be nice and accommodating of others. Also the card soch arba amos shel meis. This is xero dor panan. You can't even go within dalet amos of a meis. Yeah.
Wouldn't this reject the chef and whatever else was on the side? And if there's a separate din that says asur liskari, so that's mashmal the normal iser.
No. This liskari is a different use of liskari. That liskari means to be like together with. Here it just means to be close to. This means like to almost miskarif. Now, when Rav Schechter said liskarif, he means to be in the room with. Here, what we mean is not to be in the room with, but to be in a place where you might mess up. It means to be close to karif. It's just because he used a funny word. If he had used a different word, if he had instead of liskarif, he would have said, lishaber, then you wouldn't have a question. So.
Here.
Right. I think it was him, but if not, then it was me. I just picked a confusing word because I didn't take the sif into account. This is clearly Xerah Darabon. It's also to come with an arba amos of a mace or of a kever. Why? For the obvious reason that you might just go too far. This is classic, like asu siyag l'Torah in almost the most literal sense, right? That's the walls around it. Aval em ho. That's within the walls. If there's no walls or no like ditch separating it, you have to stay 4 amos away. If there's a wall, you only stay 4 tefachim away. Why? Because the wall will keep you from getting too close. Now, obviously, if the wall goes taller than you, then you can go all the way up to the wall. What it means is the wall goes up to your waist. You still have to keep 4 tefachim away because you can reach over the wall. But that's the rule. If there's a wall up to your waist or a ditch to remind you, you can go up to 4 tefachim. If it's just in the open air, you have to stay dalet amos away. This is relevant in cemeteries. If a Kohen wants to go in the cemetery, in the part where there are no mason buried, he has to stay dalet amos from all the graves. And if there's a 10 tefach wall around it, he still has to stay dalet tefachim from the graves. But... However, if it's a house with a full wall, then he can't possibly reach over the maser into the grave because there's a wall blocking him. So then he can go up to the wall and touch it, and it's no problem because there's no need for a gzera as long as there's no wanting going out with an opening. Okay, what's the big machlokas? The big machlokas here is the shach said there was a minhag that at funerals the kohanim would go within arba amos of the maser. And he tried to figure out what's the justification with this minhag. He even found in the Rukeach, and he said, the gzeir of dalet amos is only on a mace that's kavua somewhere. If the mace is just like lying in the street for a second or moving down the street, they weren't gozer. Which is a big chiddush, because I would have thought practically you should be gozer even more if it's not kavua, because you're going to be more confused. But as he says, no, the gzeir is maybe if you use it more formal and practical. The mace gets like a mokum. But if the mace isn't kavua, he doesn't get a makom. I would have said, no, practically, the less kavua he is, the more likely you are to make a mistake against the shach's minhag. The shach tries to justify that minhag. It's a big machlokas achronim, whether to agree with him and justify that minhag or not justify that minhag. Lemaisa, then the Sefer Gesher Chaim, he just brings down two deos. Lamaisa, it's better to stay with Daladamas from the Mace. Better stay Daladamas from the Mace in all circumstances. But certainly there's room to be Makel, since only Xerah d'Rabbanan, to go within Daladamas of a Mace that's not in a fixed place. However, the Chachmas Adam writes, you still have to stay Dalad Tfachim away from the Mace. You can't manage to play with fire. Okay, there's a lot of like lundas here and like the set of zavim stuff we're not going to get into. If there's a mace in a rowboat, which is a small boat, and when everyone steps on the rowboat, like it tilts the rowboat, a Kohen can't go in that boat. Why not? He's not under an ohel, there's no roof. He's not touching the mace, so what's the problem? What? No, midras is something only for a zav and zava and yoledes and mitzora. Heset, which in biblical language, what do we call it?
Masa.
Exactly. There are three ways of making matame: b'maga, b'masa, or b'ohel. Masa, the masa means moving it or holding it. And here you're moving it because basically, if there's a mace on one side of the seesaw and I sit on the other side of the seesaw. That's usher for a Kohen, because that's Tumas Masa. And therefore, Tumas Masa is usher. Only, they can only think of this weird case for it, because they hadn't invented seesaws yet. But I guess the other case would be, no, what if I mamish carried it, right? Someone could do that. Let's say the Kohen, he has a 4-amma stick, and on the other end, he ties like a bag with a mace, and he carries it down the street, and there's no roofs anywhere. He's not under with the mace. He's not touching the mace. But he's carrying the mace, and it is still a problem. Okay. Simen Shin Ayin. Where was that?
Shinayin Bet.
The Taz and Shinayin Bet in Sifkatan Aleph talks about the Kvaros. So we should mention that now because it's not really in the Shulchan Aruch. It's just mentioned in the Taz. There are two different types of enclosed mason, enclosed areas of mason. There is, let's make these two cases, even though it's really more shy to here. Here is a closed box with a mace, and here is a closed box with a mace. What's the difference? Is there a tefach of open space? Here there is a tefach, here there is not a tefach. Right, for example, if I, like very primitive burial, you dig a hole, put the mace in, fill it with dirt, the mace is enclosed there, but there's no tefach space. Or you have a nice sized coffin, like the Taz says nowadays, there's a tefach space inside that coffin. Or nowadays, when they bury the mace in Israel, they bury the mace, they make a roof of cinder blocks on top of him. Looked to me like there's a tefach space, I haven't measured it, but it looked to me like a tefach space, and then they put the dirt. These are two different things. This is called kever sosom. Anyone know what this is called? This is called
ritzutza.
Exactly. Toma ritzutza. Ritzutza means like squished, right? Didn't we say maybe macholis was? No, that was tufa. Toma, squished toma. There's squished toma and kever sosom. What's the difference? Both of them don't block the toma. What's the difference between them? The difference between them is, and let's say here's the, you know, here's the ground level, right? The difference between them is, Toma Ritzutza is Boka'as Ve'ole, Boka'as Ve'oredes, meaning the Toma goes up from the mace, not from the little empty space on the side of the coffin and the wood of the coffin. Someone goes up from the mace. Kever sosom is mitame kol seviva. The kever is. Toma versus kever. That's really the difference. This is not a chalos in the kever. The toma is squashed, so the toma goes up and down. Here, the whole coffin goes up. Nafkamina is, can I walk? Again, don't try this nafkamina at home. It's very subtle. Can I walk on the edge of the grave, which is over the coffin, but not over the body? If there's a poseach tefach, that's a kever sosom, it's all tummy. If there's no empty space, then it's tumor ritzutza. I can't walk over the body, but I can walk over the coffin. These were all where there was a tefach, a poseach tefach. This is all where there was a tefach space.
So if there's a temple space with a door situation.
Correct. Let's go to this space. Let's say I have this, again, totally enclosed thing with a mace. But you know what I did? I built a building that was full of bricks, full of bricks. I built the whole building with bricks everywhere. And there's no empty space in the building. There's just a mace without a tefach empty space. Tefach meaning cubic, tefach empty space. Then, what's the din? Then, a Kohen can touch the side. So it's not a Keber Sosom. A Kohen can touch this side. It's not a Keber Sosom. A Kohen could stand right here, because he's not over the mace. Only here a Kohen can stand, because the Tumor Ritzut says, Bokas Olu Bokas Yerbetis.
So, is it the Talibon?
Yes, it goes all the way up to the sky. And if you put a roof here, you can't have an Asr the whole area.
Why can this go ahead and touch the left side?
Because since there's not a tefach of empty space, the wall blocks the Tumah. There's a wall. Tumah produces Bokas Va'ola Bokas Yerbetis. It's not Bokas, it goes sideways.
But then why in that case?
Because the whole. In this case, you can also touch the side. So or in this case, you can't touch the side. Because the Keber Sosom, the whole Kever is Metame. Kol Sevivav. Keber Sosom, the Sviros HaKever are Metame. Tumah Ritzutza, only the top and bottom of the Tumah is Metame. Okay, you have to practice applying this. I understand. Okay, let's go to Shinayim Beis, the actual top of Shinayim Beis. Yeah?
So it sounds like just giving like a theoretical tilak. It's not really syncratical, per se.
I mean,
it makes it sound like practically you can walk in a graveyard if you like, if it was Tumah Ritzutza, like the Masha Inkain.
No, he doesn't say that at all. He's very explicit that the difference would only be neged sad harekan shabo, under the empty part, above the empty part of the coffin.
Then what's his mishum da inna? Like, why is anything changed nowadays?
What changed nowadays is walking over the empty side of the coffin. Why anyone cared, I don't know. But he's very explicit that if it wouldn't be that way, it would only be mocha. Look at the last line. E have a sasim ve'i v'socha chol tefach ein metami el k'neged atoma mamish lo neged sara reikon shabo the end of the taz. He's very explicit. You and I might say, who cares? Either way, just don't walk in the cemetery. I have no idea. Maybe they knew how to tiptoe carefully. Maybe there are people who knew how to tiptoe carefully, like on the very edge, so they don't go over the bodies, but they do go over the coffins. And then he said, nowadays you can't do because there's a Vosef Tefa. Don't ask me.
How do you know which end of the coffin the mace is in?
Maybe they knew. Don't ask me. I'm obviously missing some Metzias. Okay. Shinayim Beis, Rabosai, quickly. Afish the coin also becomes Beis HaPras. What's unique about a Beis HaPras? It's Tumah Derabbanan. What does Beis HaPras mean? The Mishnah at the end of Olos, we know, says there are three kinds of Beis HaPras, but only two of them are really discussed in the halachic literature, and the parentheses person put in the two definitions of Beis HaPras that we apply Allah HaMaisa, either Sodesh of Bakever. There's a grave and you forgot where it was. So it's all Safek, but Midoraisa, you can assume that you're not walking over the kever, midrabbanan, it's tame, or shenechesh b'kever, v'shir me'ama, or they accidentally plowed over the grave, which is terrible. They desecrated a grave, but it happened for 100 amos. And for 100 amos, you can't a coin can walk there because maybe the plow dragged a bone there.
Is there a reason why the shacharim includes the nechrash and not
ama? I don't think so. Just because that's a more common case in shas, but I don't think that's a real reason. Okay. All Eretz Amim, another Tumah Derabbanan. Basically, kulas for Tumah Derabbanan. Keep in mind, you can't extrapolate from one Issur Derabbanan to another. Whenever the Shulchan Aruch gives you, oh, this Issur Derabbanan is mutter in this case, it doesn't mean all Issur Derabbanan are in this case. It doesn't mean you can eat chicken and milk to learn Torah, etc. And they mean separate rules, and they mean special kulas for Tumah Derabbanan for Kohanim. What are the special kulas they made? Imtzar Leil Shomisa Isha to get married. The mitzvah of getting married is overrides Tumah Derabbanan, O Lilma Torah. The mitzvah of learning Torah overrides Tumah Derabbanan, V'ilu Derech Heres. You don't have another highway. Yachol Lavor Derech Shan. Afil Motzei Lilma B'makom Achir. Even if you can find another yeshiva, but if you can't find another road to this yeshiva, you can go through Tumah Derabbanan. Why don't we tell you to go to another yeshiva? Because it's a halachic principle that a person can't learn in any yeshiva. He can only learn in the yeshiva that's right for him. The chen ovel over derosham yechulei lachar hunachol. Likewise, the mitzvah of gemilas chasadim is docha tuma d'rabbanan. If there's an avel and he has to go menachem avel, he can go through this tuma d'rabbanan. And even saving your money from goyim, you can go through tuma d'rabbanan. Let's say the goyish courthouse, you have to go through a beis hapras or eretz amin. You can go through tuma d'rabbanan to fight with goyim in court and save money from them, because saving yourself, saving your money from being robbed by the goyim is, I don't know if it's a mitzvah, but it's enough of a tzorech that it's docha tuma d'rabbanan. Basically, Chazal were pretty makel in tuma d'rabbanan, that they said whenever you have like a strong reason, and it's a machlokas rishonim, the Reis Yosef. Are these examples, or does it mean any mitzvah in the Torah? And the Chachmas Adam, and Simon Kuf, and Tess, in the beginning, Paskins, like the Sheltos, these are just examples. It really means any mitzvah. For any mitzvah, Chazal were makel on tuma, d'rabbanan. Okay, we won't get into all of the cases of the Pesach Tshuva. Says the Rambah. This is a very famous Rambah. Koin sheshochev arum. Right? What does this remind you of? Mark Twain's unfinished story? Anyone? Okay, Google it. Koin sheshochev arum. Vehu. Do people still read? Okay, it wasn't a movie. Sorry.
What Mark Twain
said. I think it was Mark Twain, no? He basically wrote the beginning of the story and challenged anyone to write the ending. And it was so hard, no one could figure out a way to end it. And it was basically Kohen Shochav Arim Behuba Olam Ameis. Slightly different Echitetsu. It's so clever. It's unbelievable. The guy should have gone to Yeshiva and learned Gemara. He had such a good head. Kohen Shochav Arim Behuba Olam Ameis V'lo Yada Ein Lahagidlo. A Kohen is sleeping naked. And all of a sudden, the guy dies in that room. He has to run out as soon as he can. He has to run out as fast as his legs can carry him. Then probably he's naked. He's running to the street. And everyone's coming to see the news. And all of a sudden, he's running into the street. Naked. So what do? Don't tell him someone died. Just the Ikra Lostan, just tell him, we need you outside for an emergency. Quick, come outside. And he'll get dressed and come outside. Kideshi yalvish atzmo tchila. Okay, this is our Maseches, right? Not this case. Brachas daf yotes chaf, right? The sugya of Kavod HaBrios, right? Kavod HaBrios overrides a Drabbanans, but not an Issur D'Oraisa, but not an Issur D'Oraisa B'Mezid. Yes, an Issur D'Oraisa B'Shogeg is the Chiddush. So therefore, it's Kavod HaBrios. He can't walk naked into the street. So therefore, if it's b'shogeg, we just tell him come outside and don't tell him there's a mace, then even though he's doing an issur d'oraisa b'shogeg, kavod HaBrios is docha an issur d'oraisa b'shogeg, but if he knows there's a mace, it's not docha an issur d'oraisa b'mezid, and he's to run out naked. The davka, 1 second, go, oh, let me, shu'tomah d'oraisa. Of course, that's only if it's tomah d'oraisa. Avolamu b'deis ha'pras or eretz ha'amish, shu'tomah d'rabbanan, yal b'shatz mo t'chila, du'gadu kavod HaBrios. If he's only in a place for tomah d'rabbanan, of course, he can get dressed first, he's gadu kavod HaBrios. The shach says, likewise, if he's in sof tomah watzeis, we'd be making like this. If he's in Sof Tumah Latzeis, which maybe is only Tumah D'Rabbanan, then he can get dressed first. If he's asleep, not naked, he's just asleep. Interesting question. If someone's asleep, there is a radical sheet out there that if someone's asleep, they're patur from mitzvos, but we don't normally assume that way. We assume people are asleep or so chayav in mitzvos. And therefore, if the Kohen's asleep in the Ohel Hameis, we have to wake him up immediately and tell him to come out. We can't say when he's sleeping, he doesn't have to keep the Torah. No, even when he's sleeping, it's chayav in mitzvos. So if everyone's sleeping and he doesn't know, it's not his fault. That's called onus. But if I know, I have to wake him up and tell him you're doing an avera, run out of the room as soon as you can.
So isn't a low sensei, isn't the chiddush
only
from Zalman, it's
finished by a season. Okay, according to Zalman, he wouldn't say this, correct. The shach says here in Sivkan Beis, if it's only a different room than the mace, that's only Tumah D'Rabbanan, then he can get dressed, back to the getting dressed, because Kavod HaBrios docha Tumah D'Rabbanan. The shach is very confusing. He makes it sound like there are two rooms with an opening in between them, it's only D'Rabbanan. Or the Echonim say it's not what he meant, but he meant Besof Tumah Latzeis. And it's a very difficult shach. L'maisa, this is still a pretty harsh Ramah. Bottom line, if I'm not a Kohen, so I don't care. But if I'm a Kohen and I'm sleeping naked, maybe Kohen should never sleep naked, to be on the safe side. If I'm a Kohen, I'm sleeping naked, all of a sudden someone wakes me, I search out, Ruben died! And I know Ruben's sleeping right there.
I have to run out naked into the street. It's pretty humiliating. But okay, Kavdar Prius is not doche, lo sasami doraisa. What? What about that? We're not going to get into philosophy now. Yes, there's a the Dor Ravi, which is a one of the Gedolim of Hungary who made Aliyah about 100 years ago. He writes that this Rama is wrong because it's obvious that Hashem wouldn't want us to be naked in the street because that is not the way that Adam should act. And acting not like a Ben Adam is worse than doing a Sidoraisa. That's already philosophical chiddush, because he's taking something that's not in the Torah and making it part of the Torah. What are all the Achronim? If you look at all the Achronim on the page, they all find ways to be more makel than the Ramah, but not with philosophical chiddushim. Basically, they'll say, we're really going to tell this guy to run out naked? No. There are svaras that Ramah overlooked that are tzadim l'hakel. And what are the different tzadim l'hakel they bring up? I'll just list some of the tzadim l'hakel. Number one, Kavar Brias is doche, shevi al tasa, a passive avira. And says the Pesachei Tshuva, according to the Mishnah Chachamim, he says, if you already went to sleep a heter and you're just staying where you are, that's called passive. That's called shevi al tasa. And Kavar Brias is doche, and isur d'oraisa of shevi al tasa. And therefore, he still doesn't say you can dawdle. He says you can at least get a little dressed. You don't have to be dressed to the nines. And you can at least, not be naked. You can put on your pants and your undershirt and run outside. That's one svara is maybe it's Kavra Bris is Docha Shave Vialtasa. Another svara the Pesachei Tshuva quotes also in the Dagomer Vava says maybe it's only Drabbanan to stay with Tumah. It's only Doraisa to go to a new Tumah. Like to keep touching a mace is only Drabbanan. It's only to start touching a mace that's Doraisa. It's the same factor as Mishnah Chumash. So therefore, maybe it's only Drabbanan. Again, these are all chidushim, but they want to find Stadim to be Mekel. And he points, and then the Evan Ozer, here the Grud disagrees. This is based on a Homachlok's Rashi and Tosas, if you remember Brachas Yotes. I don't know if everyone finished the Seches this year. He says, maybe Kavod HaBrias is Dochet the Lav of Tumas Kohenim, because the Lav of Tumas Kohenim is more Kal. I know, this also says more chamer. Anyone know in the language of that sugya why the law of Tumas Kohen is more kal? Do we have to go to Zechariah? Zechariah, in the language of the Gemara, why is the law of Tumas Kohen more kal? Because it's a law of she'eno.
All
right. Law she'eno shaveh b'kol. It doesn't apply to all Jews, only Kohanim, so it's not so. So maybe, Kavod HaBrias is docheh law she'eno shaveh b'kol. Kitzer, in the end, And the Graz along Arichos saying, no, that's the wrong lumdus in the sugya. It's probably, it's a machlokes Rashi and Tosos. Lemaisa, the Achronim say, we're not as harsh as the Ramah. We come up with a tzad l'hakel to let him get dressed. He says, hey, he doesn't have to wear all his clothing. Enough that he won't be humiliated. Right? You can go out in your undershirt. Is it mechubet to go to the street in your undershirt? You know, would I normally go out to my street in my undershirt? No, but it's not the end of the world. So because there are tzadim l'hakel, not because of philosophy, because there are tzadim l'hakel, that maybe Kavod HaBrias is docheh this lav. Why? Because maybe it's considered shevi al tasa. I mean, in common sense, it's shevi al tasa. Just halachically, it's not so pashut. Maybe it's more kal because it's a lav she'eino shaveh b'kol. Maybe it's only drabbanan to stay with the mace once you're already there. Big chiddush, but that's what the Nevi Yehuda says. L'maisa, bottom line. Bottom line, we are makel against the Ramah, and we let Kavod HaBrias be docheh.
It's not also connected to that. I mean, the coin's already tummy, right?
That's exactly that's exactly the svara of the Dagomer Rebbe. Since he's already not just already tummy, he's already tummy this second.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. But that's very fascinating, and you're right. It's also very philosophical. Because there's this famous Dor Ravi in the Hakadama to Maseches Chulin, who wants to reject the Ramah on more radical philosophical grounds, saying that it's obvious that it's wrong to go naked into the street. The Torah tells us it's wrong for a Kohen to be Metami Lemes. Something that's obviously wrong is more powerful than something the Torah tells us is wrong. It's a big philosophical chiddush. Okay, I'm getting a gaping, wide mouth. Not big philosophical fish. Yeah. Okay, but we discussed that a little in the Daf Lamed Hey. Okay. Last thing, Beis. Kivrei Ovdei Kochavim, Nochem Lizar Komi Leilach Aleihem. Okay, Kivrei Akum. Are Kivrei Akum Metame or not?
Tivrei Akum.
Yes.
Machlokas. Machlokas who? Who said the Natatami?
Rashbi.
Rashbi. Or Shem Bar Yochai. Rashbi says, Eina Metamin. And who paskins like the Rashbi? Sort of, right? But the Rambam and many others, right? The Rambam and the Urayim and many others, Rambam ve'od. But Rashbag says they are metamin. What's the drasha? It says, Adam ki yomis ba'ovel, and it says, in what's the lashon of the pasuk?
In Tehillim,
right? Yeah.
Adam Atem.
Yeah, Adam Atem. So we're Adam, they're not Adam, and therefore their kever is not Matami, but Ohel. And Rashbag doesn't like that, Trasha. We're not getting to this now, but you should know that there's a lot of apologetic literature on this. Every Gadol you've ever heard of has a story where, like, some, like, bishop or priest or, like, you know, feudal lord or king said, you Jews, how can you call us subhuman by the drasha of Adam Atem, not Matami, but Ohel? And everyone had a hesver about what that means, etc. One of the cleverest hesberim, I forget who this was, says Adam Atem, but Adam is singular, and Atem is plural. What it means is only the Jews are many, many people, but they're all united as one in Avodas Hashem, while the Goyim, who aren't only the one God, they are many people who are not Adam, but Anoshim, and therefore they should join the Jewish people and be unified with us. Okay. In any case, it's a very fascinating, maybe some of them said I hold like Rashbag. But who paskind like Rashbag? Tostos. I think Rov Rishonim are like the Rambam. The Rambam and Rov Rishonim are like Rashbi, Tostos, and minority Rishonim are like Rashbag. What's the Zagim Mechaber? Noch only Zarv Leicholayim. It's better to be Machmir. It means Me'ikar din Mutter, but it's better to be Machmir. Afishesh Makilim explains to Rambam, but Noch only Machmir. Yeah, because there are Mekilim, and it's better to be Machmir. Meaning, if you shouldn't do it, but I can't mamish aser it. That's what I'm going to go. A Jew who gets baptized in Shmad to the church, what's the rule that we apply? Yisrael? Avshichad Yisrael. I don't care if the Jew, like, walked around with a cross and got baptized and, you know, and got buried in a Catholic cemetery. He's still a Jew, so you can't walk over his kever. That's not a halachic machlokas. The machlokas is, what about a real guy? So the Mechaber and the Rambam both agree. The Mechaber and the Rambam both agree that it's proper to be machmir, meaning b'nei Torah are machmir, but me'ikar din it's mutter, which also means that, you know, whenever there's other stuff in lahakel, you know, it's very easy to be makel. It's not so posh in the Pesachei Tshuvas of Katan Vav. Quotes from the Shuvas of Shava Kohen, who's more machmir, says we actually hold like Tosfos. But most Achronim agree with the Mechaber Dharma. That says it's Nachum Lahachmir, and that's why nowadays there are some Kohanim or Mikkel Lagamri in Goyish cemeteries and whatever. But B'nai Torah should be machmir, because even if it's Nachum Lahachmir, we should try to do what's Nachum. Right, so that's our Psak is Nachum Lahachmir. What broad is this Kula? The Shach in Sivkat and Dalid is Merames from Achlok Shrishonim, that he says, how about Maga and Masa? Can I touch a dead guy? He says, no, this hetrad on the Odom ki Yomis ba'ohel. It's only in Tomas Ohel. There is a Shita of the Urayim who says, no, I can't even touch a dead guy. But Shach says, we don't hold like that. No, the only Achlok is Ohel. Everyone agrees I can't touch a dead guy. What? Correct. The truth is in medical school, even if it's a goyish cadaver, you still have maga and masa.
Right.
So it can still be problematic, unless you don't like the urine, but the shach says we reject that. We are machmir maga and masa. When it comes to ola, we just say nachon lahachmir, and the Gesher Chaim and many achronim write that even though
Nachon lahachmir for Tumas Oel, we don't say Tof Tumah Latzeis, and we're not machbaring Goseis Hakom. Only on Tumas Oel Mamish. We're not machbaring the Goseis, we're not machbaring Tof Sof Tumah Latzeis, only on Oel Mamish, Nachon lahachmir, and that is the bottom line that a Kohen, if someone wants to be makel, they can. If they say, I don't want to be so, you know, so machbid, and it's not Nadeira, if they go to a Goyish cemetery or to a funeral of a Goy. However, that's not the proper practice. The proper practice is that you should be machbid on Tumas Oel of a Goy. And it's totally usher to touch a dead guy. And even though it's properly makbid on Tumas Oel, we don't do makbid on Tof Tumah Latzeis. So therefore, if a guy dies in my apartment building, I just send a spy, like, you know, Yisrael spy. And as long as his door is closed, the kohen can walk through the hallway because there's no Tof Tumah Latzeis. If his door is open, the kohen shouldn't walk through the hallway. Okay, to be continued, Amir Tashem. Instead of next Sunday, we're having shiur this Thursday because I'll be in Kutzlaritz on Sunday. So this Thursday, we will have halacha shiur. What? AA in Highland Park.
Isn't there still a shiur Monday also?
What? That's instead of Tuesday, because Tuesday is Yom HaTzmaut.
All there. Everybody who